knows what a palm looks like? Who comes from a place where there's lots of palm trees? I see your smile is bigger than your hand right now because you're thinking of home. It's beautiful, beautiful. I see you, Melanie. I want to go to your home sometime. Oh, those Caribbean islands. Okay, let's come back to Stavanger, the triumphant entry. Today, we're talking about the triumphant entry. And we're going to start by watching a cartoon. Yes, movie time. But I need you to all pay very close attention, because as you know me, I'm going to ask questions after. So, are we ready to roll? Am I rolling or are you rolling? We're figuring it out.
Jesus, he was a real person who lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. He was born in strange circumstances in Bethlehem.
Tanzania? I see some hands. Okay. Israel? Yeah? Israel? Yes? Exactly, which is right here on the map, since I don't have a pointer, but I'm very tall, I can be my own pointer. Jerusalem, which is in this country here, and it's actually tiny, but it's right there. Very important country to learn, children, Israel. It's small, and it's a Jewish country in the midst of a Muslim area. That's where Jesus lived. That's where he was born. No, that's not where he was born. That's where he lived. Eileen, stay with the script. And that's where this story is located right now. When did it happen? Some of you know these two. We have our time and our calendar is based around Jesus. BC, it's a beautiful place in Canada, but it's also before Christ. I know for some of you this is basic, but for some people it's the first time they're hearing it. And AD, Anno Domini, with a Norwegian accent. And roughly, we are now 2017 years since this took place. Is that a long time? Yeah, it's a long time. So, we have what happened, we have where it happened, we have when it happened. Do you see where I'm going? Who? Who was involved? Anyone know who was involved in the story? Who have we seen in the story? Good, that's a good start. Jesus was involved in the Easter story. Anyone else? Yeah. Mary was involved. She was all the way at the end at the tomb, and she was also at the... Yeah, she was very much, she's the mom. Oh, my heart breaks for Mary. Yes. Anyone else? Yeah. Yes, that's right. He isn't there. Anyone else? No, anyone else? Yep. Right. We all remember Judas. He sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. Josiah? Peter. Do you remember what Peter did? What did he do? He said he doesn't know Jesus. How many times? Yes? How can you see? Just three times he said he doesn't know Jesus. So, do you see where we are today? Where in the story are we? Is this, see what Sunday it is here? It's Lego Sunday! It's the Legos doing Palm Sunday. We're doing today. Palm Sunday, that's right. So on this Lego version, there's a lot of bald people on Palm Sunday, but there's all different kind of colors. And what we see on Palm Sunday was the city of Jerusalem, the people who had been around Jesus, they had heard Something was going on. Some of them, Joelle reminded me this morning, was there when Lazarus was risen from the dead. They had heard about what was going on in the city. There's this man. He's called Jesus. He was come to, because they called out a word. What did they call out on Palm Sunday? Hosanna. Can you all say Hosanna? Hosanna. Exactly. And what does that mean? That means to save or rescue. What did they need to be saved from? They're looking quite happy. They're waving their palm branches. What was going on at the time that they needed to be saved? They had a very, very, very difficult time. A lot of people had a very difficult time because they were ruled by an evil ruler. He was evil. Yeah. And the Romans had occupied the people that were living in the city, so they were struggling. They were having a really difficult time. And what they were saying to Jesus was, deliver us from these difficult times. We need a savior. We need somebody to deliver us, to take us away from this horrendous things that's going on. That's what they were saying. And so when he came, they were like, yes, it's going to be over. He's going to fix it. He's going to give us, it's going to be much, much better after Jesus takes over. But when somebody comes and takes over, do they come like with soldiers and they, okay, guys, we're going to take over here. Was that what Jesus did with soldiers? Did he come on with soldiers? What did he do? He ride on a sheep?
On a donkey.
On a donkey. A small little donkey. But the people had seen what he had done with Lazarus. They had heard about the miracles, about the healings, and their hope was stirred. And so when he came, they came running. It's like, oh, he's here, he's here. Okay, Jesus, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, rescue us. That's what they were screaming. They were screaming, Jesus, save us, rescue us, fix this. That's why they were screaming, Hosanna. And there's a desperation in that cry that we need to understand. That they are crying out to somebody who can take away the terrible things that they are experiencing. And they're crying, Hosanna, rescue us. And we know that Jesus walked on the water and he stretched his arm down to Peter and he rescued him. Remember that story? Yeah. He rescued, and that's what Jesus does. He came to the earth to rescue. Do we know anyone or anything that needs to be rescued, saved? Think about it. We have some other people who are in the story on Easter. Who are these people sitting down having a meal? Disciples, that's right. They were having what we called communion. And what did he say when he gave the bread?
He gave his body.
Oh, I love you. Look at this. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. He gave the bread and the cup of wine and he said, this is my blood and this is my body. And you do this to remember. Exactly, remember Jesus. So every time we here in church eat the biscuit and the wine, we do it to remember. Who are we remembering?
Jesus.
Exactly. And this, now we're on the cross. And who are these guys next to Jesus? The other Jesus. It's the other people. Right. Do anyone know what he does for a profession? If it's a profession? Thieves. They took things that were not theirs. And they were hung there as a punishment. And one of them wasn't very interested in Jesus. But one of them, just before he dies, what does he do? He turns to Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you're in paradise. And he doesn't say that. He says, today And he says, remember me. And then Jesus says, today you will be together with me in paradise. Thank you. Right there, at the very end, he cries out and he says, Hosanna, rescue me. And that gives me so much hope for all the people that I'm praying for in my life. Because that's the Jesus we serve. It's never too late. If you cry out, if you reach out, Jesus doesn't cut your hand off. He reaches out. And I just, Jesus is so not me because he's just busy dying. And it reminded me so much of what I do when I'm stressed to the core. And I should never compare myself to Jesus. But when I'm so pressed down and when I'm so stressed out and when I'm so at the end of myself, do I care about the lost people around me? Do I reach out? Or do I go, oh, woe is me. I'm so overworked. Yeah, that's me. And that's my confession. That's what I do. And as I prepared for this sermon, Jesus just hit me so much. Because I need to go there. I need to stay close to Jesus. And I need to remember, even when I'm overworked, when a colleague calls and says, Aileen, can you come and pray with me? Of course. Of course. Because he is my strength. The risen Christ in me is my strength. It's not the overworked toddler mom who doesn't know which day it is. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. I see you, sister. Why? Why did Jesus have to come? Does anyone remember why? Anyone remember this part of the story? Yes? What happened here? Okay, let's do that one more time. This guy is not Jesus. Exactly. It's Satan. And he was telling them what it had God told. God had first God had told them something. He had said, you can do everything in the garden because it's a wonderful place that I've created for you to play. You can do everything you want. But there is one thing, only one thing that I want you not to do. And what is that? Yeah? Do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What do we sometimes do when mom and dad tell us, you can do everything you want to do, but don't take cookie from the cookie jar? What do we do? Thank you. They did the one thing they were told not to do. And because they did that, evil came into the world. The knowledge of evil came into the world. And that is why Jesus had to come and fix the problem. Have you ever played a game that has more than one level? And any Candy Crushers in the house? No. You don't have to raise your hand. Anyone else plays any game on your iPad? And I see some hands. And you're trying to get to the next level. But in order to get to the next level, there's only one thing that can get you to the next level. Have you played any games like that? Anyone? Do you know what I mean? There's only one thing that can get you to the next level. There's only one person who has the keys. Akanis and Josiah has this Jurassic Park game that I'm terrible at. But there's only thing that certain people can do. And they go, Mommy, Mommy, you have to be that person to do that. I go, okay, okay, okay. And I'm trying with the console, and I'm not very good at it. They're much better than me. But this is that kind of situation. Only Jesus could fix this problem that had started here. Only Jesus could fix this problem. No one else, no human being, no angel, no nothing, because they had to be without sin, without any of this. So only Jesus, and not only Jesus, but Jesus' blood, him dying, could fix this problem between God and men. And that is why he was born, and that is why at Easter he had to die. But did he stay in the grave? Did he only die? After one, after two, after 3 days, what happened? I love seeing all those hands. Yes, he rose from the dead. That means he won over death. That means he won over death. That means, do we have to be afraid of anything in the whole wide world? No. Do we have to be afraid of death? No. Because Jesus won over death. I want you to remember that more than anything you've ever remembered. Jesus conquered, that's an adult word for won over, death. We don't have to be afraid of anything. He's alive. Thank you, Daniel. Good cue. And because he's alive, there is a level two. Jesus is alive. But is he here on earth? He went up to. And he is coming back. And who is he coming back for? For you, Daniel. He's coming back to get us so that we can be together with him in heaven forever. That's a long time. Yeah. So we have talked about the triumphant entry. One, which was when Jesus came on a donkey. And then I thought about it. When he came and was born, that was pretty triumphant as well, because there was a whole host of angels. So next year I might tweak it to be three, but let's leave it at the donkey being one. And then he is coming back. And that is why we celebrate Easter, to remember that Jesus came to fix the sin problem, so that we can, when he comes back, we are ready in our hearts. And what do we need to do to be ready in our hearts when Jesus comes back? We're going to do something now as a church, if I can have a flyer. That's our response. And it's called something we do in church every Sunday. It's called a confession and absolution. And we're going to read that together as a response. Because in order for us to be ready in our hearts when Jesus comes back, we need to confess our sins. That means tell Jesus what we've done wrong so that he can forgive us. Isn't that wonderful? When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So, can we take the confession and absolution? Can you please all stand? And then we're going to read this together. One, two, three. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us and care for us all the time. We know that this week we have not always lived the way you tell us. We have done wrong things and not done all the good things we should have done. Only you can save us. So please forgive us and help us to live as your friends. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And now that we have confessed our sins to the Lord, we can have peace with him and we can have peace with each other. And now we're going to do something we normally do in the beginning of the service, but we're going to do it now. We're going to walk around, greet each other, and say, peace be with you. Yes. Peace be with you.